What is the truth of the gospel? Would you like for somebody to tell you, just in simple, everyday language, what is the gospel? What is the truth, according to what God says the truth is? 1 John 5:11 begins, "And this is the record." The record means this is the truth. This is the witness God gives. This is the testimony of God. This is His statement. Now, it's impossible to believe anything unless you have at least two credible witnesses. We expect that in our courts of law. And we expect that if we're going to believe something as stated as being the truth, we want some witnesses to it. And God doesn't expect less from us. He actually demands that. He says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." There's got to be at least two or three witnesses. John is writing this, and John is a witness. He's writing what he saw, what he heard. Look over at Revelation 1, just to your right, a few pages. Revelation 1, look at verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record." John bear testimony. He bear witness of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now here we got three witnesses already. We got the word of John. He's speaking the word of God, which is also the testimony of Jesus Christ. We got three witnesses right there. And he spoke of all things that he saw. And the word says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now, go back over to 1 John, and there's greater witness than John, though, and what we just saw there. But look back up now, and verse 7. "There are three that bear record in heaven: God the Father, God the Word." The Word is Christ who came, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. "And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Holy Spirit bears witness, the water," which is what you're reading right here, the Word of God. It's given by the water, the washing of water by the Word. This is the Word. "And the blood," that which Christ accomplished, His own, shedding His own blood. And it says here that there's a witness that's greater than any of man's witness in verse 9. "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God." You can put in the place there of word, that word witness, record would go just as well. That's the same word. "If we receive the record of men, the record of God is greater." It's greater. "For this is the record of God which he hath testified of his Son." That's what we're reading here. This is what God has said of his Son. Paul said the reason that he didn't come with excellency of speech declaring the testimony that he declared was, he said, because it's the testimony of God. It's the Word of God. I'm speaking to you what God said. So, and there's the Spirit of God talking about the Spirit bearing witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness within the heart of the believer. That's how we're going to believe, is the Spirit's going to bear witness in our heart. Look at verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." The witness in himself, the record in himself, the Word in himself. He's born of the Word. So, tell me now, what is the record? What is the gospel? What is this record that God has given of his Son? I want it in plain as plain the language as you can give it to me. What does God say? Let's just take verse 11. Let's take verse 11 and let's just take it word by word. 1 John 5:11. Now, will you read this with me? Now, let's pay close attention and see what's being said here. Think about this now. Think of the importance of this. This is God's Word. The God who made heaven and earth, the God who gave you breath, that one you just breathed, the God who gave you strength to blink that eye that you just blinked, to have the thoughts that you just had. This is His Word of how He saves. We do well to look into it. We do good to pay attention to what God says. Pick up a Bible and open it up and read this with me. Read this with me. Look now, here's the first word. This is the record that God, everything that has to do with salvation, everything, period, but everything, especially in the salvation of a sinner, begins with God. Salvation is of the Lord. The salvation of a sinner doesn't begin with a sinner. It doesn't begin with you and me. We didn't make the first step. That's not how salvation begins. Isaiah 59:16 tells us that God chose His Son. He chose His own arm. Isaiah 59:16. His own arm is His Son. Look at it, says He chose Him. Isaiah 59:16. And He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, His arm brought salvation unto him, and His righteousness, it sustained him. This was God. God did this first. He looked. He saw no man. He chose His Son to work salvation, work righteousness, to uphold His glory. And then God chose whom He would in His Son. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. In verse 13, we are bound to give thanks always to God. He's the only one to thank for this. We're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We're bound to give thanks always to God, beloved of the Lord, because God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation. Redemption from the fall. Look at Romans 8, chapter 3. Romans 8, chapter 3. Redemption from the fall in the garden, from sin, is by God the Son. God hath. You see that? God hath. Look at Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, you couldn't keep it, and I couldn't keep it, God's law. God hath. This is the record. God hath. What'd He do? God sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God hath. Do you see this? John 17:4. Look there with me. John 17:4. This is the Word of God. This is God speaking. John 17:4. Christ said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I finished it. I did it. God hath. What is the work that God sent Him to do? Look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. I want you to look at these scriptures and see this. We want some plain, everyday teaching. Some plain, something we can see. Well, here it is. He said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. This is what the Son said of the Father. Look at Isaiah 9, verse 26. The second half there. Now, once, in the end of the world, hath He appeared. Now look at this. This was the work given Him to do. to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Did He sacrifice Himself? Did Christ Jesus go to the cross and give Himself and sacrifice Himself? He did. Did He put away sin? He did. That's what He came to do. He put away sin by that sacrifice. Whose sin did He put away? He put away the sin of everybody for whom He died. He put all their sin away. All of it. This is the record. God hath put away sin. God hath put away sin. The church of God which He purchased with His own blood. That's who His church is. This is the record. God hath. God hath. How are we going to be taught this record? How are you going to be taught this record? Truly taught it in your heart so that you believe God. God hath. This is the record. God hath. You're going to have to be taught it by God. John 6:45. Look at John 6:45. The Lord said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of God the Holy Spirit is spirit." Now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what it is. That which is born of God is born of God the Holy Spirit. It's of Him. And so that since this new birth begins and is of God the Spirit, this is the record. He teaches His children. Look at verse 45, John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. That's what Christ said. They all do. All for whom He died have all been taught of God, been born of God the Holy Spirit, and all have come to God one way. From the beginning of time till there is time, the end of time, everyone for whom Christ died will come to God one way. They'll come by being taught of God in Christ Jesus, through Him. The only thing that you and I get credit for, this is the offense of the cross. The only thing we get credit for is sinning. The only thing that we can boast in is we sinned against God. We turned our back on God and tried to put God out of our mind and tried to have nothing to do with God. We have spent all of our lives taking everything God has given in this earth, everything that is created by Him and everything that He sustains here in this earth. And we go through this life trying to eat it all, drink it all, smell it all, live it all, touch it all, use it all, abuse it all. And then when we get through with it, we expect God's going to receive us after we just had nothing to do with Him and would have nothing, none of His except for His gifts, and then come into His presence. All right, so the first word is God hath. God hath. Here's the next word. What has God done? Verse 11. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given. Given. Nothing that God gives to a sinner is or can be earned by the sinner. Nothing. A sinner conceived and born in sin cannot do anything by his own hand to make God receive him. We can't give anything to God. God is sufficiency. God is fullness. Even if God saves you and me, we haven't given anything to God. Even if we were called of God and we spent the rest of our lives trying to live in perfect obedience to God, and we should. That's exactly how we should try to live. But if we did it, if we measured up to be the one who was better than any other sinner in obeying God, we didn't do anything but what we should have done. We haven't given God anything. And we don't. We just don't give God anything. And God owes no man nothing. He doesn't owe us anything but to leave us in our sin and to give us the wages of that sin, which is death. God owes me and you nothing. Absolutely nothing. God has not given because of any good in us. Every sinner God saves was as wicked as the next one. Every one of them. There is none good, no, not one. That's all of us. That's just all of us. We won't quit bragging about ourselves, and we won't quit getting offended when somebody else says some little something that upsets us, and we won't stop thinking, well, why they look at me that way, and all these different things we think, until we realize I'm as evil as everybody else. When we realize that, we'll stop thinking we deserve for somebody else to treat us some way. That's just that old prideful flesh of ours. This is the record. God hath given. When we're talking about the gift of God, we're talking about grace. That's what grace is. It's a gift. Grace. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Grace. Look over to Romans 11. Romans 11. If somebody gives you a gift, we don't really give gifts in this life to folks who don't deserve it. Usually when we give a gift, we like them. They've done something to kind of endear themselves to us or what have you. We really don't freely give even a gift. But just for the illustration, when you give a gift, you purchase it. You pick it out. You deliver it. You give it to them. And the person that you give it to doesn't have to do anything. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't merit it. They didn't do anything to get it. It's a gift. You gave it to them. It's a gift. Now, when you go to work at your job, you expect a paycheck at the end of the week, don't you? Because you worked. And you have it coming to you. You deserve it. You earned it. You're supposed to get it. And if you don't get it, you go straight to the boss's office and say, according to my record, I'm supposed to get this much, and I didn't get this much. We keep close tabs on what we're supposed to get. What we're supposed to get. Now, it's either one or the other. Either God's salvation is a gift, or we worked and earned it. It can't be both. It can't be one. It can't be a combination. Look at Romans 11:6. Romans 11:6. If by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Let's read that again. If by grace, then is it no more of works. If salvation is by grace, it's not of works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. Now look at the next part. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You see, they can't go together. It can't be partly by grace and partly by works. That's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. If you say it's your birthday and somebody came and they gave you a gift and you said, well, let me pay for half of it, it stops being a gift. It's not a gift anymore. You paid for part of it. It's not a gift anymore. But if it's all together given, it's a gift. It can't be both. It can't be a gift and a work. It just can't be. Salvation is all of grace. This is the record that God hath given. Hath given. All right, what's the next word in 1 John 5:11? This is the record that God hath given to us. He's given to us. Who are the us? I'll tell you who the scriptures say the us are. And you see if you're among the us. The us are all of those that God beloved from the beginning, that He chose from the beginning. The us are all of us who were ordained unto eternal life. You know what that word ordained means? It means to arrange in an orderly manner, to assign, to appoint, to determine. when I was in school, I actually thought this was kind of exciting. They would never tell us before the school year, first day of school, at where I went to school, in elementary, junior high, they wouldn't tell us who our teacher was. We didn't have a clue. And some of them you didn't want. Some of them you just hoped you didn't have. Some of them you really wanted, but some you just didn't want at all. But the way you found out was you went the first day of school, and everybody, just the hallway was full of all your fellow students, and you went up to each door where your teachers were for that year that taught that whole grade. You went up to each door, and you looked at the list on the door, and you just went down the list to see if my name's on that list. And if it wasn't on that list, you went to the next door, and you looked at that list, my name on that list. You went to the one you wanted to be in first and worked your way down the line. But when you saw your name on the list, that means you were ordained to be in that class. You had nothing to do with it whatsoever. It was done in an orderly manner. Somebody arranged it beforehand. They appointed for you to be in that class. They put your wrote your name down on that list, and you were ordained to be in that class. That's who the us are. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world by God Almighty. They were ordained, appointed to obtain eternal life. The us are those who... I better show you that. Let's go over here and look at this. Acts 13:48. Paul was preaching to the Gentiles one day, and the Jews didn't consider the Gentiles to be us. They didn't consider the Gentiles to be part of us, because up until the gospel began to be sent by Christ into the Gentile world, there weren't many Gentiles who had been called prior to that. But the Jews thought, we're the us because we live in Israel. We're the us because we're Jews. We're the us because we're the Hebrews. We're the us because my mom and daddy was of Israel and all these things. That doesn't make you one of us. That doesn't make you part of this us. It's being ordained to eternal life. But one day Paul was preaching to these Gentiles, and a bunch of these Gentiles got excited and got, because that record was born in their heart. They were born of the Word. They were born of the incorruptible seed, and they got really excited about this. And this is what the Scripture says about that in Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. You see, this is the record. They glorified the record of the Lord. They said, this is the record. We love it. Why? And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They didn't believe and become ordained. They were ordained, appointed before, and as many as were, that's how many believed. They loved it. The us always delight when God bears record in the heart and we find out, I'm in that number. You mean God loved me before the world began? You mean Christ died for me? You mean He put my sin away? You mean He's come and bore record of this gospel in my heart and I've been born of Him? We delight in it. Well, the us are as many as God entrusted to His Son. He gave them to His Son. And they're the us all for whom Christ died and redeemed by His blood. When He died, they're the ones He died for. Christ didn't just die at random, any more than you purchase a gift at random and hope somebody will come and pick it up. Somebody will come and take it off the shelf. You buy a gift for somebody. He purchased the redemption for somebody. He bore the sins of a particular people. He didn't just bear some random thing called sin and put all sin away. If He put all the sin of everybody in this world away, there can't be anybody that perishes in unbelief. Everybody's got to believe this. Everybody's got to go to hell, or God's not just. I mean, go to heaven, or God's not just. The us are those who rejoice that this record's true. That's what you'll do. When you hear it, you have a heart of stone. What's a heart of stone? I'll tell you what a heart of stone is. A heart of stone is this. You can't convince me of that. I'm going to have to convince myself of this. That's a heart of stone. A heart of stone is, you show me this book, and that might be God's word, it might not be. That's a heart of stone. A heart of stone is, I talk with some of my friends that are Jewish, and they don't believe Christ has come yet. I talk to some of my friends who, they're Muslim, and they believe that Ishmael is the chosen seed, not Isaac. And I've talked to some people that they don't even believe there is a God, and they make a good argument. That's a stony heart. That's a stony heart to consider everything and put confidence in everything but anything. To think any of this could be true. And I'll just go through life saying maybe, what if, this, that, and the other, rather than saying, that's so. This is so. A stony heart does that. A stony heart says, you can't convince me of that. And I can't. But when God bears record, when He bears record, that stony heart melts. It just melts. It melts into nothing. It melts into submission. It melts into delight. It melts into rejoicing. It melts into the sun shining down from heaven's glory, and you see, and God Almighty, this thing is not about me having my way and me having what I think is right to be right. This thing is about God being right. This thing is about God being just. It's about God being holy. Oh, you see all of a sudden the attribute of God's long-suffering, of His patience with you, because you realize, I can't believe God didn't snap my little ignorant, smart-aleck rear end out of this world the moment I came into it. And I've been going through life shaking my fist in God's face and having nothing to do with Him, and all the while, for the sake of His own glory and His own justice and His own righteousness and His own holiness, He's been suffering long. Not that it's hurting Him and He's suffering. He's just been bearing with you until the day He had appointed to send that word into your heart and bust it open so that you could see what He's done for you and how He's waited and been patient with you when you had nothing in us that deserved to be His patience. You start seeing all the attributes of God, and you quit looking at you, and you quit looking at, next thing you know, this friend's coming up, and he's saying, yeah, but the other day we were talking about this and how that we thought maybe everybody's a cat, and when we come back, we'll come back as a cow or a dog or something like that. And you kind of thought that was so. And you'll say, man, that's the dumbest thing in the world. And you'll have another friend that'll come up to you, and they'll say, don't get carried away in this religion thing. You're going off the deep end now to believe something like that. And you'll say, you go on with what you want to go with. I believe God. I know Him. I see Him. I believe Him. That's what this record does when it's born in the heart. Well, what has He given us? What has He given us? This is the record. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Eternal life. I just sat and thought about eternal life, and I thought, all right, what is eternal life? How can you define eternal life? How can you describe eternal life? All I know is time. All you know is time. That's all we know. We don't know anything eternal. I mean, we're time. One of the first things before we ever even knew anything about time, one of the first things they did was write on our birth certificate a time when we were born. Time rules everything in our world. Time. Eternal life means life without beginning or end. How can that be? I have a beginning. I had a beginning. How could it be that I have eternal life which has never had a beginning and will never have an end? How can that be? It's without beginning because those that God put in Christ have always been alive eternally in Christ. No beginning with God. They've always been eternally alive in Christ. And without end because there's no end to God. When all this time and space continuum, is gone, we will be with God. And see, we've always been with Him. That's just too big for us, isn't it? That's too big for a finite mind to grasp what eternal life is. Glory, honor, immortality. This is the record. This is the promise. 1 John 2:25 says, this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. But without trying to define it in that way and get your mind around that, here's what it is. Here's what it is. It's a person. Look at the next word. This life is in His Son. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Look at 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He's eternal life. Look at 1 John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. I'm going to close right here with this. That which was from the beginning. We have to have time language to understand this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Can you handle a word? Can you touch a word? Can you see a word? You can. The Word of life, you can. Look at the verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. We're declaring and showing to you and telling you of that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard. We've seen eternal life. We've heard eternal life. And we're declaring unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's eternal life. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. The wages of sin, the merit of sin, the earning of sin, the work of sin, the debt of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There were some people one day that heard that and they said, I don't believe that. We don't believe that. And the Lord said this, you believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Now listen to me. You may not believe this sitting here today, and I can't say you believe not because you're not His sheep. I don't know. You might be. Christ could say it because He knew who His sheep were. And He knew exactly who His sheep were. And He looked those people right in the face and He said, the reason you do not believe me is because you're not my sheep. He didn't say you're not my sheep because you don't believe me. He said, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. I haven't bore record in your soul and I'm not going to bear record in your soul because I didn't come for you. I didn't come to lay down my life for you. God didn't give me you from before the foundation of the world. That's what He told them. You're not my sheep. And He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. And they'll never perish. Nobody will pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He's given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. He's the Son of God, He's the wisdom of God, and He's the wisdom God requires that we have to have. He's the Son of God, He's the righteousness of God, and He's the righteousness that we got to have. He's the Son of God, the holiness of God, and He's the holiness we have to have to enter into glory. He's the truth of God, and He's the only way that we're going to know God, is by knowing the Son. He's the fidelity to God, perfect faithfulness to God, and having Christ, we have the faithfulness, the fidelity that God demands of us. He's the way, the only way to God. But this is so. He is God's gift of eternal life to you who believe on Him. He is eternal life. Now, let's go back to verse 10 and let's read the whole matter. Verse 10. Here's the conclusion. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. You've got the record in you. That's how come you believe. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. He said, I don't believe the record of holy God Almighty. Can you imagine somebody using the breath the very God's given them to say, I don't believe God, I think He's a liar? Talk about dangerous ground. Dangerous ground. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen.